There's a brand new house in the gated community of Lutz, Florida.
We kept pinching ourselves when we moved in there. It was like, is this our house?
But in just a few months, this sunny home becomes the scene of unspeakable horror.
Oh my gosh, it was horrific. It was horrific.
I couldn't believe it. It was just surreal.
Sometimes evil worms its way into our homes.
It's like a moment in a dream. You said, this can't be real. This cannot have happened.
On November 1st, 2006, police answer a desperate 911 call.
As I'm walking up the driveway, I can see what appears to be blood from the doorway to the center of the driveway. There's actually drag marks of that blood going from one area of the house to another area of the house.
You want to think the best, but we were thinking somebody was hurt really bad.
What police quickly find is that two people are missing.
There was a big urgency in trying to locate them immediately.
What could have led to a bloodbath in this quiet neighborhood? In 1997, 38-year-old Galen Eugene Thurnow, Gene to his friends, moves to Columbus, Nebraska.
He was from the Kansas City area. His father worked there. He had one sister who he adores and another older brother and a younger brother.
We were a conservative family, had a great childhood. All of us.
After a stint in the Air Force, Gene takes on a job as an air traffic controller.
He could handle a lot of the stress, things like that, and that's something that he decided to go for.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
At the Columbus Flight Service Station, Gene fits right in.
Gene was a very nice individual. He was one of these guys that if you were going to go out and lay sod, we'll say, hey, you need some help, I'll be over.
And in this kind of tight-knit group, fitting in is important.
You become a member of a very small, minute team. You have camaraderie. You will know those people for the rest of your life.
Another new member of the crew is 39-year-old Bob Peterson.
Hey, what are you doing in our neck of the woods?
They both came about the same time. Bob was already an air traffic control specialist. He had transferred to Columbus, Nebraska because his father owned a farm, and he used to go home and help his father do the farming.
You want some? Go ahead. Thanks.
Bob doesn't fit in with the gang nearly as well as Gene.
Bob was a quiet individual, not that he wouldn't speak to you.
Bob, I would have to describe as kind of a loner. He was just a quiet, nice guy.
Bob was a guy who liked to work by himself. And the mid-watch, which works from midnight to 8, generally, was his favorite watch.
Most people hate the loneliness of the night watch, but it suits Bob just fine.
Scared the living daylights out of me.
Should have seen your face.
Oh, I got you there, didn't I? Yeah, look at this. Got a picture of my family here.
Oh, wow. I love that breed.
Yeah, introverted as he is, Bob bonds with Gene over their love of dogs.
The pretty one there in the middle, that's Princess. She's my youngest one.
Gene had Dachshunds, and he bred them, and they had puppies.
Can I have one?
If you're a good home for my puppies, I'm more than happy to give you one.
He loved puppies, too. He was always talking about his puppies.
Gene loved his dogs. They didn't eat out of a bowl. They didn't, you know, have their dog food. He had plates for them, and they ate whatever he ate. And they were his babies. He loved them to death.
Gene's easy for Bob to get to know.
He was one of these guys that would sit there and talk to you during the free time at work.
You come over to my place, I'll introduce you to the mother, and you can pick a puppy.
While things at work are going well, Gene's home life isn't quite so happy. His marriage to wife Sherry is headed toward divorce.
He was married about 20 years.
Gene gave her all the love that he could.
Sherry, you can't be doing this. Think.
She just wasn't able to give back. She was a nice person, but also a selfish person.
Gene, it's over.
The final straw, her ex-husband had come back and promised her the world and that he would take care of her, and so she went away.
He had some close friends that were essential for him getting through all this, because obviously divorce was not what he wanted, but it was a difficult decision for him to come to.
Sherry.
His divorce comes as no shock to his co-workers. There are few secrets in this tight-knit world.
It did not surprise me that they split up and went separate ways.
Women, huh?
Everybody. I had to concentrate on convincing him that he needed a new life.
That's really good news.
January 2002, Gene asks for a transfer to St. Petersburg, Florida.
Part of the draw to get to St. Pete was just to be around family. It was like a breakaway, a new start.
What's going on? I'm being transferred to Florida. Sunshine, I can't believe it.
Gene's transfer will leave a hole in this close community.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Gene seemed like one of Bob's only friends.
It doesn't take Gene long to find a new home. And soon, he starts looking for something else. A new love.
It was very helpful to find somebody. He just wanted somebody that would love him as much as he could love them.
Things are also looking up at his new job at the Flight Service Center in St. Petersburg.
He transferred to us as an air traffic control specialist, and he worked out just perfectly at that job.
As always, Gene gets along with everyone.
Just a wonderful gentleman.
Well, this is your desk.
Great guy to work with. Just a real good person.
JJ, this is Gene, our new transplant from Nebraska.
We already met.
We have.
But it's not quite love at first sight for 43-year-old Juanita, or JJ to friends, a fellow air traffic controller.
Gene came January after 9/11, and after that event, there was heightened security. Someone else was coming in, one co-worker, and then Gene was right behind him, like to piggyback, and it's like, whoa.
Who are you?
Gene Thurnow. I just started today.
Where's your badge?
Sorry. Right here.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
That was the first time I met him, when his first day at work. I challenged him, as they called it, so.
JJ's on edge for a reason. She's having a hard time with her husband.
We'd been married 20 years, 3 children. He was just a very controlling person.
JJ, would you happen to have a stapler?
Oh, of course. Here it is. Oh, sorry.
The pair become fast friends, but with just a hint of something else.
We're talking about where we came from and everything. He had just gotten divorced. I was close to going through one, and so we kind of, you know, shared that.
I would watch her sit next to him, and she would kind of talk to him, and he'd say something, and she'd giggle, and then that would be that. I could see that connection.
But even with love knocking at the door, Gene is soon haunted by his past in Nebraska.
Anytime you're going to move out of state for someone, that has definitely gone into full obsession mode.
Gene Thurnow is starting a new life in Florida, far away from a disastrous marriage in Nebraska. But his past is about to catch up with him. It starts with a strange letter from his old co-worker, Bob Peterson.
Bob had sent him pictures of the apartment that he was in when it was empty.
And it's not just these photos. His ex-wife, Sherry, won't leave him alone.
He was starting to get a little tormented because now she was talking about coming back or coming to move in with him, and I felt he was feeling a lot of pressure about that.
But Gene is resolved to start afresh. He starts building a new house in Ellenton.
Very nice community, I would say. Middle to upper class community. The homes in that area were in the $300,000 to $400,000 range.
I'm sure you'll find everybody friendly.
During the construction of his new home, the past becomes the present when a familiar face appears.
Bob! Hey! Well, how the heck are you doing, buddy?
Good. When Bob got a transfer to St. Petersburg, we did not think it odd at all. We figured he was doing it for his career.
A freshly minted Floridian, Bob needs a place to live. His timing is perfect.
That's better. No running with scissors, right?
Gene had just built his new house, so he was vacating a rental property.
I love it, you know, home sweet home, right? And the dogs.
So Bob did move into the rental home that Gene had had.
I went to check out the way they built.
Bob settles into Gene's old place and his own new life.
Yeah, no, it's great.
But little else has changed.
I never saw him interact and take part in the social kind of activities.
He was just very quiet. You kind of didn't know he was there. I mean, he got trained, and when he sat down, he pretty much kept to himself.
Yeah, I know. We have to go back to work, I guess. I'll just leave it there if you guys want to take a look at it. They've got, like, really good models in there.
JJ is one of Bob's first new work friends.
When you're done with the newspaper, could I read it?
JJ is going to make you feel comfortable no matter who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll drop it off just right after I'm done.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
From that day on, when I would come into work, he would have the newspaper at my desk. He had already read it, but he would have perfectly folded it back in the same creases that it was, and it'd be sitting there waiting for me.
And JJ has more on her mind than helping Bob fit in. Her marriage is over.
Divorce is a terrible thing. Okay, but I usually always say sometimes divorce can be a good thing too, so in this case it was.
Actually, I'm kind of relieved now.
She turns to Gene.
She had a bad, you know, divorce, similar to what Gene had gone through. And that was something, I believe, that helped them relate together even more.
What about Sherry? I heard about
her. Gene gets some bad news of his own about his ex, Sherry.
Her health was failing, and she had passed away.
She's in God's hand now.
It's a shock, but Gene finds solace in the new life and the new home he's building.
Couldn't help noticing that, do you do stained glass?
He throws himself into decorating his new home.
I'm looking for someone to do a stained glass door.
He goes, can you make me stained glass doors? I'm like, whoa, yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
That's how we started, spending more time together.
After JJ's divorce is finalized, 2 years after Gene moved to St. Pete, he steps up and asks her on a proper date.
It wasn't too long, and he was already saying he thinks he may have found the one.
Since coming to Florida, Gene has returned to his faith and is a devout Christian, something JJ finds compelling.
Faith played a large role in our family. Gene originally is who got her back into church and went to church with her and made it such a part of their life.
Sorry, guys. I'm late.
Faith also connects Gene and JJ to their co-worker, Bob.
We would work Sundays, and we would go to church just down the road, Bob would frequently go with us.
Bob even begins to emerge from his shell.
We would have Secret Santa at work, where we try to limit it to like $10, $15 a gift. But one time, Bob got a name of a co-worker.
I got that for you.
He went out and got her like a $100 gift card at the grocery store.
I hope you like that store.
Bob would be the first one to go around. Hey, I got my truck. I'll go get the Christmas tree. He would always be like volunteering in that capacity and very generous in those things.
Bob is also helpful in other ways. He does everything he can to encourage Gene and JJ's relationship.
I was thinking that maybe we could switch shifts. I can take your shift tonight and you could work mine tomorrow.
What for?
You can work all day tomorrow beside Gene.
Gene and I didn't work the same hours. So he would say, hey, do you want me to work that 10 o'clock shift or that 3 o'clock shift for you so you could work with Gene?
Thanks, buddy.
It's such a wonder to have him around.
You should have seen your face. It's absolutely priceless.
Hey. Look what you got.
Around this time, Gene gets a card, but not from JJ.
Look at this. It's so funny.
He had gotten a card from Bob denoting a anniversary. And it could have been, you know, when they started working together, and it had some very nice, sincere writing on it. Thinking about you, best friend or whatever. It wasn't just like a guy kind of slap on the back kind of thing card. It was a, you know, just, yeah, it did not make Gene feel very comfortable at all.
It's just so strange.
The card is curious, but Gene and JJ are preoccupied with their own relationship issues. Gene's religious awakening has redefined his dating habits.
JJ,
this man loves me. But he stopped dating me because we're having physical relationships, and that's not God's way. That's not the Christian lifestyle that he wants to have as a part of his future, because the other ways didn't work before.
Gene decides to break it off, but he can't seem to stay away from JJ. Bob notices.
Hey, Gene. Going on there? I thought you and JJ broke up.
Oh, we're not dating anymore, but you know we're still talking. We're friends and all.
Why were you over at her house this morning?
How do you know that?
Just took a detour on the way in today, and I saw your car in her driveway.
It's all right.
Okay, he's just a little odd. He's just bored and driving around the neighborhoods and, you know.
The breakup doesn't last long, and in April 2005, Gene takes a bold step.
Do you mind keeping an eye on her for a second?
No.
I just need to go get something.
Yeah, just love her. Good.
After work, I followed him to his house. I was kind of waiting for him to start picking out a movie.
JJ, if you don't mind standing up just for a second, I want to check something.
And then he goes in the bedroom and he comes back out.
What?
And handed me a box. There's a note folded up really small and shoved into where the ring is supposed to be. I was just like overwhelmed. I'm like, really? I was floored. I was crying.
Gene proposed. And I said yes.
They were very happy for us because they cared about us and they wanted to see something good happen, and we'd gone through a lot.
But not everyone is happy about the upcoming nuptials.
I heard from JJ that Bob was less enthused about their wedding, that he was not as happy for them.
The forecast, plenty of sunshine through today with seasonal temperatures. We should reach...
He gave us this beautiful vase. It was a crystal Waterford vase. It was a limited edition, and I think the value was like 600 something, and it was like, whoa, okay, thank you, Bob.
So by the wedding day, any ill feelings are swept away.
We did it at Gene's house. It was just so quaint and beautiful, and then the next day we went down to Key West for our honeymoon.
With the knot now securely tied, Gene and JJ are ready for a new place, together.
We decided that we were going to sell Gene's house and my current house and then build our own.
They were building a beautiful home, very nice community. That subdivision was a newer subdivision at the time. Homes were just going in. It was a gated community.
It's not just a new house in a safe community. It's their dream home.
This is going to be our sanctuary. We're going to raise kids here. We're going to live here. We're going to retire here. We're going to celebrate it with our family.
Gene puts his current house on the market.
So what's the temperature of the pool now?
Oh,
it's probably around 78 or something.
And Bob's the first in line to visit.
Mind if I take a dip? Mind if I indulge?
Oh, yeah, why not? Sure, go right ahead.
He thought it was going to be like a day lounging around the pool, but Gene and I, we had other things planned for the rest of the day, so he seemed a little disappointed that we weren't enjoying the pool, too.
Hey, look, you know, I know I already rented your apartment, and would it be weird for me to maybe suggest that I might be in the market for this house?
Oh, wow.
Taking it off your hands?
Why would that be weird? It's a beautiful house.
Bob bought his house at the asking price. And I thought, in that day's market, that's awfully generous of him because, you know, you could get houses much less than what the people ask for.
In fact, Bob loves it so much that he requests that the home come with all its furnishings. And so Gene sells everything to Bob.
It was a model house. It was perfection. You wouldn't want to have changed a thing.
Bob thinks he's bought everything. But when he sees that the bedroom linens and bedspread are not included, he's disappointed.
He went in there expecting to get, like, the bed totally made with pillows and sheets, and it was like, no.
It's like, why does he want these personal items, these things that are so, so intimate?
I wrote out, okay, I don't know if Bob's had a house before, you know, maybe he just doesn't get it.
And Bob's behavior, already odd at times, is about to get even stranger.
It was, you know, such clear evidence that he was keeping really close tabs on them.
After months of construction, Gene and J.J. Thurnow's dream house is finally finished.
We kept pinching ourselves when we moved in there. It was like, is this our house?
As both have had tumultuous marriages, they swear this time and this house will be different.
Look what I have.
It's the picture. Oh, it's absolutely perfect. Oh.
We were not going to have any kind of negative feelings in this house. There was not going to be any arguing or yelling. We were looking forward to inviting lots of people and friends over to share that with him.
Bob's also been busy. He comes to work one day in the last week of October to show off his new baby, a shiny new car.
I almost went with the stick, but I stuck with the automatic, the guy.
So he is showing Gene the car, and at that time, it had the GPS in it. Bob was showing him how he had typed in all of the coworkers' addresses, and he had physically gone around to see, like, where everybody lived.
You have to see Margaret's place. It's humongous. It's like a mansion, like a palace.
You've been there?
Well, I'm not inside, no. I've driven by it a bunch of times.
He's single, he's odd, he's lonely, all right, you know.
And look at this. Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
Then at that time, too, he also showed Gene a gun he had in his glove box.
Yeah. I'll just take that. Thanks. Back off. Yeah, that's, this is my baby, my two babies. Never know when you're gonna need protection, right?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Bob came from a farm. Gene, you know, he'd been hunting and stuff, so I didn't think anything to be excited about it. These guys were used to being around guns.
But Bob isn't content to show off his new toys. He wants an invitation to see Gene and JJ's new home, and he's not shy about it.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. Good, yeah. Oh. Still $1 million short of being a millionaire. No, I'm good. Look, I was just calling because I didn't hear back from you and Gene about coming over to see the new place.
Oh, one sec. I'll check with Gene.
Yeah, go ahead, ask him. I don't
mind waiting. Just, yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah, I guess that'll be okay.
Well, how about November the 1st? You know, I think that's a good day for everyone. We all get off at the same time. I can just have him head over right after work.
Okay, great.
Okay, then. All right, you guys have a good night.
He says he has a present he's just dying to give them.
He kept saying, oh, I got this awesome housewarming gift idea for you guys. You're not going to believe it.
A On November 1st, the three head for the new house.
So, Bob, you're gonna follow us?
I know where it is. GPS.
What they don't know is that Bob knows the route by heart, even without his GPS.
You see the pool right there, so...
When they finally arrive, Gene proudly gives Bob the grand tour.
You want some pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't... Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Hey!
The three chat for a bit, but JJ is restless and keen to get on with their night.
Gene and I had plans. We had a list of things to do. We were just expecting Bob's visit to be kind of short.
Would you like something else?
Yeah, sure. Why don't we have some tequila?
What about iced tea?
I offered him several beverages, thinking he was done, and it was always something different. He just kind of kept lingering.
Bob finally gets up.
I'll be right back. Okay.
But only to grab something from his car.
He wanted to show us the gift that he had anxiously and carefully prepared.
That's for you guys. The ultimate housewarming gift.
It's a 50-page leather-bound photo album. It's stocked with photos of JJ and Gene's house through its various construction stages.
You get every detail, every picture of their house from groundbreaking on up, of their house being built.
Oh my gosh, this is a picture of the lot before we built it.
Yeah, before you just broke ground, so. Yeah.
Obviously, he had been there quite a bit and knew exactly where they were and what was going on and how the house was laid out.
Wow, what do you say to that? You know, he was so excited about it, and it's like, okay.
It's just a pet project, a passion project, so I wanted to see it through right.
Oh, well, thank you, Bob.
I'm trying to be polite, and I get to the back of the book, and it's after the house is completed.
That one right there that was just a couple of days ago.
Bob continued to take pictures of our home even after we moved in because you could see our furniture there.
It was, you know, such clear evidence that he was driving by all the time and that he was keeping really close tabs on them.
The couple doesn't have much of a chance to react. Within minutes, there's an unexpected knock at the door.
It's my daughter.
JJ and her daughter have to run an errand.
Hey, darling, I gotta go. I'll be back in an hour. Thanks for the gift, Bob. I love you.
I love you too.
When JJ leaves the house, Bob follows her out.
I just thought maybe he thought his car was blocking us, and I was like, no, we're fine. But he went straight to his car, and then Cassie and I left, so I don't know what he was going for. He was getting something out of his car.
What JJ doesn't know is Bob has something else for Gene, something he's been obsessing over for years.
I started thinking about how this could not be a very good ending.
After JJ Thurno leaves her dream home to run errands with her daughter, Bob Peterson goes to his car to get something. And this time, it's not a present.
He had actually typed out a letter.
It's actually a kind of confession.
Thanks.
Dear Gene, I have tried to say this to your face, but I always chicken out. I guess I really am a coward. That's why I'm writing this letter instead. I get the impression that most people think that I'm gay. To be honest, I don't know what I am.
Gene is stunned as he continues to read.
Between the ages of 19 and 25, I had sex with 25 different men, yet I wasn't in love with any of them. Never been in love with another man until I met you. Do you believe in love at first sight, Gene?
Bob decided he was gonna tell Gene about his true feelings.
I envy JJ. She can see you and touch your naked body every day. Gene, I love you with all my heart and soul. And I only want to bring you pleasure. I know how good it feels. From personal experience all those years ago, I realized this goes against the teaching of the Bible, and I've already asked God's forgiveness, and I know he will forgive you also.
Gene's shock turns to anger when he reads,
I'm not leaving your home until you let me taste your manhood.
Oh, is this a joke?
No, I wanted to tell you this for a long time.
Bob, this is not funny. You're gonna have to leave now.
I'm not going anywhere, Gene.
No. Bob, I want you to grab your jacket and get out of my house.
No.
Now.
No. Gene, look, I know that you're scared, but you don't have to be, okay? You don't have to be afraid. JJ doesn't have to know. We can be together. No!
Gene was gentle and kind, but he also wasn't a wimp. He wasn't going to let somebody impose on him like that.
When JJ returns, she's relieved to discover Bob's car is gone. But he's left something in his wake.
I see these dark red marks on the driveway that lead to the front of the door. Well, our front door is maroon. One of our projects was to touch up the front door because chips of paint had come off, and I thought, oh, Gene is starting to do some of our to-do lists.
The door is unlocked.
Hi, Gene. You home? Gene.
Then she sees something odd on the floor.
It was so wet, and the reflection from the light, it just looked really fluorescent. And I remember reaching down and touching it, and it was wet, and I actually wiped it on my pants.
But this wet red liquid isn't paint.
What it was blood.
The trail leads toward the Christmas tree, where she also sees Jean's shirt.
And I see the shirt, and it's bloody, and there's more blood over there. And it's like, it's just so odd how your mind works with you, how it kind of, oh, it's not what you think. No, it's something else. It's something else. Oh, maybe Gene was trying to put in the stained glass doors and somebody got cut. Oh, maybe that's it, because that was the shirt he was wearing. Maybe, oh my gosh, maybe they're at the hospital.
JJ calls Gene's cell.
I hear this vibration, and it's coming from underneath the Christmas tree. And I go to look, and it's Gene's pants. I see his shoes and his socks, and I see his underwear.
She tries to call Bob, trying to figure out what's going on, what happened.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Bob Peterson. I'm not in right now to take the call, but if you leave a message at the tone, I'll...
Panicked, she calls 911.
Oh, sorry. Here and there's... blood on the floor, and yes.
It's then that she spies the letter addressed to Gene.
The note was half folded, put into an envelope.
So I'm reading that letter when I have the dispatch on the phone, and it's like, he wanted to rape my husband. Oh my gosh, it was horrific.
Then she makes an even more shocking discovery.
And then I'm like, oh my God. I started thinking about how this could not be a very good ending.
Oh my God! Gene!
The police arrive in a matter of minutes.
As I'm walking up the driveway, I can see what appears to be like almost a drag mark of blood coming from the doorway to the center of the driveway. Walk into the front door, there's actually drag marks of that blood going from one area of the house to another area of the house. We see an unfired bullet on the floor.
The police issue a missing persons alert, but no one thinks Bob and Jean are just missing.
You want to think the best, but we were thinking somebody was hurt really bad, not knowing which one. Could have went either way.
There was a big urgency in trying to locate him immediately.
The home is considered a crime scene, and investigators work throughout the night. JJ's not allowed back until the next morning. She's not alone long. By the afternoon, she's surrounded by family.
I was at work when I first got the call from JJ. I left work immediately, and I called my sister and had her call my brother and my parents from there. And then we all headed up to their house.
I just remember family members started showing up.
Meanwhile, one of the first places the police check is Bob's house, Jean's old house.
It didn't appear anybody was there.
Actually, the home looked like it had barely been lived in.
The search stalls until suddenly they catch an unexpected break.
I had spoken to Bob's brother. He had mentioned that at one point Bob had lived in Safety Harbor area. He had said that he didn't know he'd even had the new house yet down in Ellington.
The address isn't familiar to JJ or anyone from their work.
Bob at Jean's home? Why would he have another home?
Me and Lieutenant Seltzer went down to check the address.
We start looking at the house before we knock on the door, because again, we know somebody was shot. We have to be tactical. There's the Pontiac that belonged to Bob in the garage.
The car door was open, and you could see the blood in the passenger's compartment, and then blood going from the garage door into the house.
We went around, we did another check of the home, and while we were checking out the rear of the home by the sliding glass door, there was a smell that was coming from the residence. This house was a lot different than the house in Ellington. You would never know that the same person lived in either home. This house was just dirty, not well decorated. The kitchen was dirty. There was very little furniture in the home. And there was a mattress in front of a TV. We had found a lot of gay pornography, male-on-male pornography, a lot of sex toys.
When they enter the master bedroom, they quickly find the source of a horrible smell that pervades the house. Jean Thurno and Bob Peterson are missing, leaving behind a bloodbath. Police head to a secret house Bob has in Safety Harbor, Florida, where they make a horrifying discovery.
Bob was lying in bed. He had a gunshot wound to the head.
And Bob isn't alone.
We find, unfortunately, Jean on the floor, naked and deceased.
It appeared he had two gunshots to the head.
That's not his only injury.
An inspection of the body revealed that Bob had removed Jean's private parts.
The news JJ has been both desperate for and dreading for two excruciating days finally comes.
November 3rd comes up. It's in the morning, and Detective Seltzer comes in.
Mrs. Thurno, I'm sorry. We found them both. They're both dead.
No! And it's, you know, it still doesn't like click, and it doesn't click.
But why did Bob kill Gene, the man he claimed to love? The police have a theory.
Enough! Take your jacket and get the heck out of my house! And one more thing. Just stay right there!
After Gene rejected Bob, he snapped.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is no joke, Gene.
He thought to bring a gun with him. He must have played that out, that this may not go well. What am I gonna do if he rejects me?
You stop now, Gene, or it ends tonight. Accept it, stop!
Okay, all right. Bob, okay, just relax, buddy, okay? Good, okay, let's talk about it, okay? Listen to me, okay? We'll talk about it, all right? Just lower the gun now. We'll talk about it, okay? Just relax, buddy, okay?
Why did you do that?
I think Bob loved Gene, but I think he could not deal with Gene loving somebody else. His way of thinking was, you're going to be mine or nobody's.
I think he died fairly quickly. He was shot twice, extensive injuries.
I truly believe if Juanita had been there, he would have killed her as well.
And why he removed Gene's genitals remains unclear.
We found the razor blade that had been used to remove them.
Police search, but find nothing.
I mean, we checked everywhere. We, you know, even the medical examiner's report, we checked stomach contents, other cavities, wasn't there. There was one drop of blood on the toilet. Whether it was flushed, we don't know.
In the end, Bob took the same gun he used to kill Gene to end his own anguish once and for all.
He ended his life, which is a sad thing too, because there was a really good part about Bob. You know, it was a little bit odd, but he had a heart, and he was giving and caring. There was just another side to him that was unbalanced that he fought with.
Even in the wake of this horror, JJ has found solace in one thing Bob couldn't take from her. Her faith.
God's strength and mercy has gotten me through it. That was the only thing I had to hold on to. They did a beautiful job at the house. He took away my future with my husband, my home. How can you hate somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, who is not thinking right? How can you hold him accountable for that? I think that he was just so tortured.
For Gene's family, forgiveness remains elusive.
I still don't know if I've actually said it myself, that I forgive him. There's still no closure to it for me.
For JJ, forgiving doesn't mean forgetting.
I was ever so blessed at being around Gene, to see that kind of light, to see that type of person, to be exposed to that person. He's still my inspiration as to how I want my life led. Even though he's not here, he's still kind of here, you know? So. ¶¶